here to ask you one question and one question only.
What's your point?
What's your point?
What's your point?
What's your point?
So what's your point?
What's your point?
What's your point?
What's your point, man?
What's your point?
What's your point?
What's your point?
This is What's Your Point?
What's your point?
What was his point? I have no idea. Dude, I don't get it. I don't get it either.
And now, here are your hosts, Dalvin Osorio.
It doesn't matter what your name is!
And Pauly Brazes.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
On Turn On The Jets Digital.
Welcome to What's Your Point? It's your weekly New York Jets debate show. We like to say it's like PTI, but edgier. And with only Jets topics, my name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. I will be the moderator for this affair, so let me introduce you to your combatants. Our first competitor is so smart that Adam Gase actually asks him for advice on football. It's true. If he's more brilliant than Adam Gase, how much more brilliant could he be in anyone's mind? He's a senior writer at TurnOnTheJets.com, Mr. Dalvin Osorio. Dalvin, what's going on, man?
Doing good, man. Fresh off of getting Adam Gase a new job that he did not deserve. So I'm happy to be back on What's Your Point to reclaim my crown because I've been off for the last couple weeks.
Ooh, Dalvin coming out firing right away. And I should say, by the way, you can follow Dalvin on Twitter at @DA_Osorio. And his opponent this week, they say he's like the Wegmans of Instagram because he just gives you the most insane variety that you'll find anywhere. He runs the Turn on the Jets Instagram account at @TurnOnTheJets_IG, and you can follow him at @GregArmstrong_. He also writes some great columns for TurnOnTheJets.com. Mr. Greg Armstrong. Greg, what's going on, man?
What's up? Next time you ask me to come on, like, tell me that I'm going to go up against Dalvin because then I can make up an excuse and not, you know, get my teeth kicked in by Dalvin as I usually do.
I mean, that's what Paul. That's why Paul is not on right now.
Scott's like, you want to do a podcast? Like, yeah, sure. And then I hear Dalvin's voice, and I'm just like, why?
It's like you're a heavyweight in the late 80s, and I say to you, hey, you want to have a fight on HBO? Sure. And then you show up, and it's Mike Tyson standing there waiting for you.
I can hear it in Dalvin's voice. He's ready to just rip someone to shreds, and I'm here.
Should see him. He's got the boxing gloves on right now. He's like, yeah. Tyson. He's got the black shoes, the black trunks, no socks. He's ready for battle. And that's why we've got a great special guest judge this week. He knows being on the air like I know losing hair. It's true. I've pulled so much of my hair out because of the Jets over the years. He's the afternoon host over at the Score 1260 in Syracuse. And, of course, a member of Turn on the Jets Digital with his podcast, The Jet Zone, Mr. Paul Esten, a.k.a. Boy Green. What's going on, Paul?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And, wow, it must have taken you a while to write that intro, so I really appreciate it.
I go all out for these intros, Paul. Everybody knows that. Dalvin, didn't you say that I would be your PR rep?
Damn straight.
So let's see if you guys can live up to my intros with what you have to say this week on the show. And we're going to get into these debate topics in just a second. But first, let me explain the rules in case you're listening for the first time or you forgot. This is how it works. We go four rounds, and it's going to be in presidential debate format, or I should say modified presidential debate format. You will hear one person talk for a minute, then you'll hear a one-minute rebuttal, and then a rebuttal of the rebuttal for 60 seconds. We will go four rounds. If we're tied at the end of the four rounds, then we will go to a sudden death overtime. At that point, Paul, who is our judge, will come up with a question that only he knows. I don't know it. Dalvin doesn't know it. Not even Greg knows it, even though Greg and Paul have that Syracuse connection. He won't know what the question is, and so Paul will be the one that asks it and will be the judge, jury, and executioner. But that is, of course, if we get to the overtime period. As far as the judging criteria, I always say it's the two S's and the two C's, style and substance, color and command. So it's not just about who makes the correct point, it's about how they make that correct point. So as we know, trash talking and entertainment value very big here on What's Your Point. So those are the things that Paul will be looking for. So let's start with the topic that is the number one topic with any Jets fan right now. It's this. The Jets hired Adam Gase, who was dismissed as head coach of the Miami Dolphins after three seasons. He comes in here to take over for Todd Bowles, who was fired on New Year's Eve after the Jets lost their season finale. So the big question, of course, is did the Jets get it right with Adam Gase? We'll start with you, Dalbin.
I'm going to say that they did not get it right with Adam Gase. I think one of the things that I made sure to do, because, you know, TOJ as a whole is repeatedly accused of having an agenda for negativity, is I made sure to give the Jets excessive props, because I did think that they were handling the search well, right? They were casting a wide net. They went to the college route. They requested an interview with Matt Campbell from ISU, and the school said no. They were interested in Matt Rhule. They wanted Cliff Kingsbury. They wanted coordinators. They wanted special teams coaches. They wanted quarterback coaches. They wanted retreats. They went after everybody. And then you settle on Adam Gase. And I think for me, I'm a big Peyton Manning fan. He is the greatest quarterback that I've ever seen, like myself. Now, again, that doesn't mean he's the greatest of all time, but he's the greatest one that I've ever seen in terms of just balling out of his mind. And Adam Gase has now parlayed his time with Peyton Manning into not one, but two head coaching jobs that he did not deserve. And it's just mind-boggling to me, because Jet fans will sit there and they'll bash the Dolphins for how bad they've been over the last 3 years, but then suddenly we get Adam Gase and he's the right hire. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like if I told you, Scott, hey, listen, man, we're going to play this lottery ticket, but you're only going to get $2 even if I win $2 million. And it's a joke to me. But no, I think they got it bad.
I thought Dalbin was going to go full LeBron James there. Not one, not two, not three.
It was coming. It was coming. I'll tell you that much.
That's Dalbin's point. Greg, what's your point?
When you look at this organization and the way that they handle things, for as much as we wanted them to make a splash coaching hire from the college ranks or get a coach like McCarthy who has this, you know, so-called ton of experience, I think they got it right with a healthy balance, all things considered. I mean, for as much as we wanted a college coach like Matt Rhule or Cliff Kingsbury, I think the experience of those guys and not having mostly worked with a guy like Darnold, it could have been, you know, one of those things where we don't get the full value of Darnold and on his rookie contract. And I think with Gase, you kind of get that in between with he's got experience. He led the Dolphins to the playoffs with Matt Moore, of all people, who's a Jet killer. But I think they got it right in the fact that he was basically, I mean, the hot thing now is who's going to be the next Sean McVay or whatever. I mean, he was technically Sean McVay before Sean McVay. So I would say they got it right with Gase, as opposed to just flaming out and having the fan base be up in arms as they've been in the past couple of days.
Dalbin, your rebuttal.
I think saying that Adam Gase was Sean McVay before Sean McVay is like saying that, like, that Harold Miner was LeBron James before LeBron James. That's what I think that. Like, I think that's a terror. That's, and again, Greg's not the only one that's tried to spin it that way. Greg is not the only one. I've heard so many fans say, man, yeah, we finally got a coach in here, you know, who was really the first one, like the first coming, like the native son returning, the prodigal son returning. It's a joke. Listen, man, his offenses in Miami were stale. I get that Ryan Tannehill is terrible, right? But that's the quarterback that he also doubled down and paid money to. It reeks very much of Chip Kelly taking the job with the 49ers after the Eagles let him go, or Rex Ryan going to the Bills after we let him go. Like, it just seems like a guy who has an axe to grind. And again, he can hire an all-star asshole staff and it still has the potential to blow up because he is terrible with players. Again, a lot of people wanted to point to the fact that, oh, well, Frank Gore walked back the complaints of Adam Gase. Yeah, sure, because Frank Gore's never had a bad word to say about anybody. But guess what? Players called him emotional. Imagine that. Imagine a guy who Sam Darnold is dealing, right? 10 straight completions against New England, right? We're driving towards the AFC Championship, and then he elects to give the ball to Isaiah Crowell four times because that's the kind of stuff he did in Miami. No thanks, man. They got it wrong.
Harold Miner, baby Jordan when he first
baby
came
Baby Jordan, out. If you will. We don't know how that turned out.
Oh, boy. Paul, you heard from Greg. You heard from Dalbin. What do you think? Who gets round one?
You know, it felt like I just saw like the before and after of like a Subway commercial. And the before was what we all thought, that Adam Gase was like this loser, the Jets, quote, settled for him. And then Greg, I think, brought up the rationalization of Jets fans. All right, all right, this is it. All right, we got to accept this. Let's try to find the positive. And I think ultimately I'm going to ride with Greg here. And the big thing for me is why I think I'm going to go with Greg is the reason that people consider Adam Gase Sean McVay before Sean McVay is not – the whole point is that he was the – at the time, he's 40 years old now. This was 3 years ago. He was the 37-year-old guy who was supposed to be the offensive wizard. And sure, I give Dalvin credit for the Peyton Manning crap because that's the thing that it seems like a lot of people are riding on. But the one thing I will give Gase credit and Greg credit for is that in each of those years we had established guys in Peyton Manning, Jay Cutler, and Ryan Tannehill, guys who were already what they were, they did have their best years under him, and you can blame the video game numbers that he gets a lot of completions on short passes and things of that nature. But I think just Greg did a good job of explaining himself.
This is the Overtime Podcast Network.
Greg off to a good start. So how about this? Spinks landing some punches against Tyson early on. As we move on to topic number two, and that is this. The Jets did hire Adam Gase, but reports were that the Jets were very interested in hiring Matt Rhule, the head coach at Baylor, but the big sticking point is that they wanted to pick his staff for him. Matt Rhule did not want to do that, and so that was the big thing that sent the parties in opposite directions. In fact, Matt Rhule has come out now and basically confirmed that by saying he doesn't believe in arranged marriages. So here's the question. Matt Rhule, a guy who is a well-regarded college coach but no experience at the NFL level. So were the Jets right to insist on having control over who would be on Rhule's staff, or was Rhule right to tell them to take a hike? We'll start with Greg this time.
With Matt Rhule, I mean, I get that he's had the guys for Baylor and he's had the guys for Temple, but at the same time, the NFL is a completely different ballgame. And for a first-time NFL head coach, like the jump from college to the NFL, it's not this seamless transition that happens. Like you go from, you know, coaching a bunch of kids to basically being the head of billion-dollar corporations. And I think the Jets were right in, you know, wanting to have some say in what he had. And from all the reports I saw was that, you know, Rhule gave a list of guys and the Jets just weren't happy with it. And if you're a team, I mean, you know, the pressure's on for this team. You know, you have Darnold under a rookie contract. You know, the GM is probably not going to be here for a while. I would say they were right in, you know, leaving no stone unturned with Rhule.
That's Greg's point. Dalvin, what's your point?
I think that if you invited me over to your house and you said, hey, man, listen, I'm going to have the whole TOJ crew over and I'm going to cook. And I said to you, oh, that's awesome, man. But listen, Scott's going to bring his own celery. I'm going to bring my own lettuce. Dan is going to bring his own jollof rice. And we invited Boy Green up and he's bringing his own salsa. So you have to use our ingredients, but you can still cook, right? Mm-hmm. I think that you would absolutely not want us over your house. And that's kind of how I view that. I kind of view that as that. Like, if I'm interviewing a coach, I would like to think, right? I would like to think, and, you know, our main man, Carl, you know, hit this on the head or whatever. I would like to think that you're going to trust me to make this meal. I find it kind of hysterical that they viewed Matt Rhule as a good enough coach to interview, but not a good enough coach to let him pick his assistants. And again, so many people are harping on this as like it's standard practice in the NFL. And I can see that in a way, but there's something very different. And again, we're just going based off what we know. There's something very different about me saying, hey, Greg, maybe you should try cilantro instead of chipotle sauce, right? That's something. Versus me saying, no, Greg, you have to do this or I'm leaving. I'm not eating this meal. And I feel like that's what the Jets did with Rhule. And I find it kind of amateurish. I find it a little insane that a front office with no credibility had the nerve to do that. And I feel they were wrong in not acquiescing to him hiring his own guys.
Greg, your rebuttal.
Dalvin, pal, I love you, but if you think that if you want to come over and you expect me to cook, first off, and second off, if you expect me to have any of the actual ingredients, like that's on you. Okay, first off, let's just get that out of the way. There's no, like, you're gonna want to be yelling at me to add things because I have absolutely no clue what I'm doing in the kitchen. But no, I mean, with an organization, yeah, that has had the lack of credibility for so many years, I think this is good for them to kind of just be, you know, not cater, because what they've done usually is they cater to the fan base and they cater to the media. And the big media thing was they wanted Rule or they wanted Kingsbury. And I think they did a good job in not catering and not caving in and being like, okay, well, we have to go all in on these guys. I think they did a good job in leaving no stone unturned with what they did with Rule.
I don't know who's going to win this point, but I will say, Dalbin, you have now made me hungry for Joloff rice. So thank you for that.
Yeah, Dan sold us a couple weeks ago on that, too. So thanks for that, Dalvin.
He really did. He sold me so much. He made it sound like a wonderland of food. So I'm going to have to go out and get this fantastic Joloff rice.
It is fantastic. Listen, when we move into this house, we will invite you guys over, and Dan has to bring the Joloff rice. Yeah.
I feel like he's not allowed over unless he brings it.
That's it.
100%.
kind of like Matt Rule, right? Yeah.
Well, as we wait for Dan to bring his Joloff rice, let's see what Paul thinks about who won round number two. What do you say, Paul?
Yeah, you know, it's for me, it's not just me picking who I agree with, because if that was the case, it would be Greg on the point that I feel like with the lack of success of college coaches, when you look at the only guys that really had success, when you look at guys like Bill O'Brien and Harbaugh, who have come up from the college ranks and had success in the pros. Outside of that, everyone's been a colossal failure. So, you know, I understand why the Jets would want to say, all right, so all these guys have failed before. Why don't we give you a little help and jump in? But the reason why I'm going to give this to Dalvin is because it's funny that all of this connective tissue is here. That Adam Gase is the first head coach the Jets have hired since Bill Parcells, who's had prior head coaching experience. And I think I remember back in the day, Bill Parcells used to say, if they want you to cook the dinner, at least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries. And for that, Dalvin, with the ingredients, I like the point. I like that. And I'm also hungry now. So I'll give it to you.
Ooh, Dalvin tying it up. And by the way, Paul, just worth noting, you said that everybody outside of Jim Harbaugh and Bill O'Brien has been a miserable failure. Jimmy Johnson would like a word.
And Pete Carroll.
As we move along to topic number three, tied at 1-1, it's this. Mike McCarthy, according to Mike Francesa, was the choice of 90% of Jets fans. He was a very divisive choice, actually, Mike. So maybe you don't have your finger on the pulse of Jets fans. There were some people that really, really wanted him, some people that were lukewarm, some people that really didn't want him, but he was a serious candidate at one point, according to reports. So same reports say that McCarthy basically told the Jets that he wanted a godfather offer. In other words, either the Jets would meet all the demands that he had in terms of salary control, so on and so forth, or he would sit out the year. So if this is true, do you have more or less respect for Mike McCarthy than you did coming into this search? Greg, we'll start with you.
I did not want McCarthy coming in for the Jets at any cost. But the fact that he basically, you know, whipped it out and threw it on the table and was like, listen, you're going to give me what I want, and this is exactly what I want, and it's some ridiculous amount of money or control or whatever. And if you don't want it, if you don't want to give this to me, then I'm out. Like that puts the team in a somewhat tough position, because it's like, oh, we need a coach, and McCarthy knows he's probably not going to be able to get a ton of money. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like the Chris Paul thing where he's just trying to get that last big contract. He seems to be keep getting the last big contracts, but it's one of those things where you just want to get that last bag. And McCarthy, I respect the hell out of that from McCarthy, just laying it all out on the table and just being like, hey, look, I want all of these things. If you can't meet my demands, you know, see ya. I'm just going to hang out with my family for a year.
That's Greg's point. Dalvin, what's your point?
I think in the era of delusional requests, Mike McCarthy going into the Jets office and laying it on the table for Mike Maccagnan and Chris Johnson and saying, listen, you know what you need to do. And Chris Johnson and Mike Maccagnan, knowing that it wasn't very impressive what he put on the table, I think I have less respect for Mike McCarthy. I think for me, man, I think Mike McCarthy, again, your last couple of years haven't been really good. You alienated arguably the most talented quarterback of all time, which again just makes you just like his family, as it seems. But you have very little credibility to come in there and demand this kind of offer that would have appeased 90% of the fan base, you know, because of course he doesn't lie, Francesco doesn't lie. I think it's a joke. I have less respect for that, because I think for me, if it was me in that situation, I would want to, if I wanted to prove that I was not a product of Aaron Rodgers, working with Sam Darnold, a young ascending quarterback, or working with a young quarterback like Baker Mayfield, because we alluded to the Cleveland Browns offer earlier, I think that's what I would do, because at the very least I get to work with a young quarterback. And even if I'm a bad coach, I get to ride the coattails of a quarterback that's going to be good into a couple of playoff appearances, which again rehabilitates my legacy. That way I'm not just the guy who rode Aaron Rodgers for, you know, for one Super Bowl and all those playoff wins. So I have less respect for him for that, because it feels like he knew good and damn well he wasn't gonna get it, and he just figured, hey man, if I put this out there, at the very least it shows that I was really committed to doing this. But I have less respect for him for that.
Greg, your rebuttal.
There's something to be said about non-self-aware people. At some point, it reaches a point where it's just very annoying. But then it gets to a point where you kind of have to just respect like how not self-aware people are. Mike McCarthy, I think, fits that bill. At some point, it gets to a point where it's like being like so bad at your job that you have to almost respect that you are that bad at your job, because you can't fathom like someone actually being that bad. And I think for McCarthy, it's like, listen, I screwed up my tenure with arguably the greatest quarterback that's ever played the sport. I've only won one Super Bowl with him. I basically burned that bridge into the ground. And now he's like, hey, I'm the godfather here. Give me all that I want. Like, yeah, I respect the hell out of that. Do I agree with it? No, but I respect the hell out of it. I at least probably wouldn't laugh at him if I was in the meeting room. But yeah, I respect McCarthy after this.
This is the Overtime Podcast Network.
We're tied 1-1. Somebody's going to take the lead here. Who's it going to be, Paul?
Well, first off, Greg, thank you for the vivid imagery of Mike McCarthy laying his wang on the tip. Really appreciate that. Well, I'm going to be honest, Alvin, you could have said anything, but after the Wang reference, I guess I'm going to just have to give that to Greg. I mean, to be honest, it's one of two things here, okay? Because obviously Mike McCarthy was confident enough in his sack to be able to lay it on the table and for the Jets and Mike McCagnan and Christopher Johnson to look at his Wang, look at each other, whisper each other, point of saying, well, yeah, I guess you kind of see what's going on here. And then ultimately, so it's either Mike McCarthy must have a huge sack, God bless him, or he's confident enough in his small sack he feels good about it. I think either way, that's a plus.
I guess we should send, you know, congratulations to his wife then. You know, so send his lady on the big wang your man has.
No wonder why McCarthy walks around like a stallion all the time. I can finally see why.
Exactly. It's a gift and a curse, guys. It's a gift and a curse.
I should preface this episode at the beginning by saying that if you have young children riding with you in the car, you may want to listen to this at another time. It would be one of those parental warning labels on the front of it if this was a CD back in the day. Greg has gone up 2-1, though, so he has a chance to put old Mike Tyson down. Are we looking at a Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson situation here? I don't know. It could happen. As we head to our final topic, and the topic is this. On Wednesday, everybody was talking about somebody named Carl Abramson, who is a young kid, a high school kid out of Massachusetts. Why were they talking about him? Because he tweeted out with confidence that he had a source with the Jets that assured him that Matt Rhule of the Jets was a done deal. People like Damian Woody picked up on this. A lot of other people did. We were all joking about it at Turn on the Jets. People were wondering what was going to happen because Carl said that at 6 p.m. something was going to happen. Nothing did. And in fact, about an hour later, Adam Gase was hired as the head coach. So here's the question. Carl appeared on the podcast with me. He said he had a source in Florham Park. Didn't say who, obviously, but that source was credible and that he has given him stuff in the past and that he very much believes that what he was told was true, but got derailed because of what we talked about earlier with Rhule not wanting to accept somebody else telling him who to be on his staff. Do you think that Carl is on the level and all of that is true, or is he a secret Patriots fan living in Massachusetts and he was just trying to troll Jets fans? We'll start with Dalvin this time.
In an era where the Eric Decker signing was broken by somebody like some random fan on Reddit, and where, you know, this isn't like a staff of magazine writers breaking Coney Ealy resigning. This isn't that. This is not that. This is a young, handsome, debonair of an 18-year-old who had a source, because again, I'm not surprised he would have a source in the Jets front office. That front office leaks things like nobody's business. And I, again, piecing everything together, and we probably will never know the true extent of it, but piecing everything that we've heard together, yeah, I believe that Carl, the machine, had a legit source, and that Rhule was going to be the head coach if he just sucked it up and became a yes man, not sucked it up. You know, I know that's a poor reference after McCarthy's wang. And I think ultimately, I think Carl had a source. I think he was dead on. I think that it's going to blow people's minds when we bring him on TOJ and he becomes the next generation of dominance that we have now, you know, created with this digital empire. But I think Carl had absolutely a source, and I think he was spot on. And had Rhule said yes to the conditions the Jets put forth on him, he'd be the head coach and he'd be having his press conference on Monday.
That's Dalvin's point. Greg, what's your point?
As much as I love Carl, I even made a video for Carl, took time out of my day to bring Carl into this video. In this day and age, it's kind of easy to make these kind of things up. I will say, though, I did feel like Rocky when it came out that Rhule wasn't going to be the coach, but instead of yelling Adrian, I was like, Carl! but it was one of those things where I think it kind of got swept up with, you know, It was one of those days where we were all in on Rhule because Kingsbury was out. I mean, you had the one girl saying, just spoke to Matt Rhule, saying, I'm still in Waco. And then she comes back and says, I need to clarify. I was next to Matt Rhule at a red light, and I asked him a question. And it's like, these are two completely different things. So I think Carl got in at a good time, and Jets Twitter just took it and ran with it. So, Carl, I love you, pal. But I'm going to say you didn't have a source.
Dalvin, your rebuttal.
I think that Carl is the new star of Jets Twitter. And as such, we need to let him come to us as TOJ and put it on the table so we can make him a godfather offer. Because again, I think he was spot on, guys. I think that for an 18-year-old kid who, again, is by all accounts, you know, because Scott doesn't vouch for just everybody. You know, he doesn't like Kyle, so we know he doesn't like he vouched for this kid, for Killer Carl, Carl the Machine. He vouched for him. And I think that, again, in this era, there are so many different ways to break news, right? Like, we've gotten information even that maybe we don't run with or whatever the case may be. I think he was spot on, man. I think that in Carl we trust. I'm sticking with you, Carl.
Paul, before I go to you, Greg brought up that reporter in Waco who said that she stopped at a red light and asked Matt Rhule a question randomly, and that he said, no, I'm still in Waco. That seems like an odd thing to say. Like, if somebody pulls up next to me and asks me a question, I'm not going to say, well, I'm still here in New York, because obviously you are right across from me. You would know that I'm still here in New York. What a bizarre report that was. I just have to throw that out there as we now go to Paul for the deciding factor. Is Greg going to win this in regulation, or are we going to overtime?
You know, the interesting thing is the more this conversation goes, it seems like a new technique that everyone who listened to this podcast is going to try is going into their boss's office and laying their junk on the table. I'm glad that's been the biggest takeaway so far. I'll let you guys know how that technique goes next Monday. But, you know, ultimately, I think that while this has been a heated battle, and the final standings will not display how close this battle was, I got to give it to Greg. I think ultimately, not only the combination in general, denial is not just a river in Egypt. I think Carl just said, all right, man, I'm saying I have a source. I'm going to ride with it. And I'm just going to keep denying everyone else who says that I'm wrong and I don't have a source. I'm just going to ride with it. I do agree, though, with Dalvin that I think he's going to be the next star at TOJ.
Look at that, Greg, the big upset. You were coming in here all scared, but you got the win over the big bad Dalvin. How do you feel, man?
I'm only doing shows where Paul is the judge from now on. I want that on the record.
That's Greg putting his junk on the table, Scott.
You goddamn right it is.
I don't want to claim any conspiracies. All I'm going to say is Greg from the Syracuse area, Paul from the Syracuse area. little Jim Boeheim magic going on there?
It's like the Jimmy Sexton conspiracy. The '90s. Greg, talk your smack, man. You won. Congratulations.
That's right, because the rules of the game stipulate that the winner gets 30 seconds to say whatever he wants. So, Greg, the floor is yours, sir.
Wow. Well, I didn't really have a speech prepared for this because Dalvin usually rips me limb from limb in these games. But I don't know. I guess just follow the Turn on the Jets Instagram. I think that's really my main point that I'm going to be hammering home at Turn on the Jets _IG. We're going to have a lot of good content coming out in leading up to the drafts and post draft and free agency and all that stuff. We're almost at 2,500 followers, so go follow that. And follow all the Turn on the Jets writers, because this is, you know, sticking with the theme of the show, free agency and the draft is where we whip our dicks out, throw them on the table, and tell people to mess with us. And they usually don't. So looking forward to killing it, as always, in content going into free agency and the draft this year.
I can't believe how many references that we've managed to get out to.
I had to keep it up.
The genitalia in this episode. This is absolutely incredible. Paul is probably going to be fired from his afternoon sports job now once this gets released. But, Paul, if that does happen, hopefully somebody will give you a better job, kind of like what happened with Adam Gase. So why don't you go ahead and give out your information for those that are unfamiliar with you or want to get more acquainted with your podcast and your afternoon radio show.
I guess I have a lot more time to do these podcasts now. So hopefully some more invites are coming. But yes, my nickname is Boy Green. You can hit me up on all social medias. Branding, Boy Green 25. It's all the same on all the different social media accounts. I do a weekly New York Jets podcast, part of the TOJ Digital Network, the Jet Zone every Wednesday. And our latest episode has three great guests. Joe Caparoso, of course, all you guys know. Benjamin Albright, a good friend of mine, he's an NFL insider, our mini Adam Schefter, and then Brian Miller of FinFanatic.com to give us the insight. He has people in the building, he's been in the building, he's covered Gase the last 3 years, and he gave an honest assessment, which is all I could ask for. So that was the latest episode. Episode drops every Wednesday.
Paul, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate you taking the time to judge this week, and thank you for listening to What's Your Point?
Exercise the demons. This house is clear.